as to whether they wanted to leave or not. They left, they knocked down the house, if they didn't, the house is still there today.
What's the incidence of seizure or contamination now, people being sick?
Haven't done any studies recently, so don't know.
Ignore it, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, I'm going to talk on a topic that I put together a number of years ago and have added to this. It's called the How to Start and Stay in Business series. It is a quite a extensive program. The shortest of running the entire program is 4 hours long. We have an all-day presentation, and it covers all these different areas: employees, business of being in business, proposals and contracts, which is a very popular thing. Billing and billable hours, et cetera, is very, very popular. And the whole idea here is how to start and stay in, and then also how to stay in business. 26 years, I kind of qualifies me to be able to say I've stayed in business long enough and a profitable manner, and I've taken a lot of good information from our members. I'm going to go through these very quickly. I've gleaned out most of the slides and taken what I think are kind of the highlights, the high points, the major points of starting to stay in business. But I really would encourage, if you really are interested in this, is something that we offer about every other year here, and about the full program and every other year at the National Society of Consulting Soil Scientists. I've also given this for the Society of Wetland Scientists. I've taken certain bits and pieces of this for the International Erosion Control Association, and the whole presentation as well. The main thing about being in business is, Henry Ford said it, if you think you can or think you can't, you're right. And that's the way it comes down to. It's all attitude. If you're looking for a big opportunity, look for a big problem and solve it. It's very interesting that the representation in Chinese for crisis is two characters. One is danger and one is opportunity. And that tells it all right there. Every crisis brings with it danger and opportunity. And that's what consultants really are involved in. Oftentimes we get called in at the last second to share the blame, as I had said before, and I prefer not to do that, but that's oftentimes what happens. And every client, the most important things, every client wants to hear the words, "I'll take care of it." That's what they want to hear. And for anybody that's still here as far as looking for a job or employment or that type of thing, that's also the main thing that every boss wants to hear. Being the best in your field has nothing to do with running a viable business. You can be the best soil scientist, the best consultant in that field, but if you don't know business, you're not going to be successful. And that's what this program is all about. A profession is a profession, a business is a business, and you don't want to confuse the skills that you need for both of them. So just touching on some business structure, get professional advice. I have a whole program about this, but you need to focus on getting some good professional advice. Capitalizing a business, just whatever you think you need to run and start a business, just double it. You can count on it, any business. Valuation of a business, this is always a real fascinating thing, and I go into quite a bit of extended thing about this, but the rule of thumb for valuing a business is 3 times the average of the past 3 years, excess profits, times three will give you the typical actual sellable value. And the reason I say that is because if you were to sell that business, the person that wants to buy that wants to have an expectation that they're going to start making money in 3 years or less. So, employees, subcontractors, and associates. Phil touched on that. I'm not going to go into the whole subcontractors and employees, a whole section on that. But, you know, as I said, employee is neither a title nor an occupation. If they can't save you time, money, make you money, they should be working for somebody else. And that's really what it comes down to. It's a little harsh, but it's not really. It's kind of makes sense. certification, registration, licensing, professional liability insurance. I can touch on, again, all of those. The certification, you know, identifies you as you're trained and tested. The registration is identifies you as you're responsible and liable for your work. Licensing, in my opinion, is a construct in which it either allows or restricts your professional practice, depending on your viewpoint. There is some benefits to licensing as recognition. There's also some negatives. It also restricts you. You can say, am I not a soil scientist if I've crossed from one state to the other? Whereas some states actually will not allow you to practice if you cross state lines. I practice in probably 30 different states. I'm not going to get licensed in 30 different states, so that's a problem. Liability insurance is very important. There's general liability and professional errors and omissions. Don't get them mixed up. They're not the same, and there's a very distinct requirement for a good and errors and omissions insurance. It cannot be a rider on your general liability insurance. It needs to be the other way around. The professional liability is what you get. Get your general liability rider. You need about 5% of your gross income should be dedicated to obtaining and maintaining your professionalism and your liability protection. Proposals and contract. This is one of the most popular parts of my presentation because everybody wants to know how to write up a proposal, how to write up a contract, and how they're going to be successful at it. Keeping it simple and stupid is number one. Always use your contract whenever possible. I've got a lot more in here than that, but you need to promise what you can deliver and deliver a little bit more than you promise. That is really critical in every contract that you're going to be involved in. Fees, billable hours. The bottom line is, everybody talks about how much is too much, or consultants charge too much, or somebody's, you know, how can they justify those charges and that type of thing. The point is that you undercharge, you're just delegitimizing the profession. Soil scientists are peer professionals with every other profession out there. I actually have clients that have hired their lawyer to do some of the work because he says, I'm too expensive, which is okay. If that's true, they've got staff people that can do it for less than me, that's great, because that's not something that I probably should be doing. It's paperwork. But the primary thing is we reduce our legitimacy and respect of our profession when we play the cheap, who can be the cheapest game. You really need to lead the discount shoppers to Walmart, because the best clients are looking for the best. They don't look for the cheapest. In fact, oftentimes the best clients will say, I don't really feel like I'm going to hire that person because they're too cheap. You need to write your hours, billable and non-billable, in a journal every day on a timesheet. I prefer it every few hours. You forget if you don't get it. I started doing this when I didn't do it. I did well. When I got into a very distinct regimen of writing my billable and non-billable time down throughout the day, I ended up increasing my net income by about 20 to 25%. Scheduling and time management. This is really, everybody pulls out a piece of paper and it's a to-do list. You know, okay, that's it. That's my schedule. It's not a schedule. You need to have a good planner, a scheduler, some type of daily journal that works in your style. I have one. Fill it out every week. Be religious about it. When I miss that, when I don't do it, I end up losing projects. I end up losing track of my projects, and I lose a lot of billable time. If you don't think time equates with money, you know, people say time equals money, you're not going to be in business very long, because that's really what it is. The most important, your skills are really important, but the most important thing that you're offering your client is your time. That's what you're charging. Most important lesson in learning and time management is how to say no. To get practice it. good consultants need to practice the word no. If you want to set some priorities, say, I have to leave in a month. I have to leave for a month at the end of the week. What are the three things I need to get done? Right there. There's your priorities. If you get those three things done, now you can move on and say, okay, now if I have to leave for a month and by the end of the week, what are the next three things that I need to get done? It really simplifies things. It really focuses your attention and saying, you know, if I had to drop everything, what are the things that are really important? And time management, and I repeat this over and over, you're not the only person that can get work done. Oftentimes business owners think if it's the only way it's going to get done is if I do it myself. Have you ever heard that one? And it's not true, it's not good, and it's bad for your business. You'll reduce the amount of business that you can do by taking that attitude. Very quick coverage on marketing and advertising and media management, etc. If you really want a good understanding of what you do and what you want to do, is what do I do that's unique to me, I like doing, I do it very well. That's what you should be pursuing. If it's going to be a long term, if you're going to build a business on it, you have to have those things in there. Most memorable type of advertising or marketing is what's called the 15-second rule. Because when you know the soils, you know the site. Bam, right there. The soil is the solution, right there. That's information. That's what you're trying to get across. You need to identify yourself. You should be able to describe your business in 15 seconds. I get a lot of people, they say, well, what do you do? Well, I do a bunch of wetland stuff, and I do this, and I take samples, and I do soil stuff, and I do this. And they're trying to describe what it is. You know, you've been in business for 15 years, and you still can't describe what your business? In 15 seconds or less, you need to be able to concisely describe your business. Intermountain Resources provides comprehensive team approach to addressing environmental issues with special emphasis in soil and water interactions. Done. That covers it all. It's what we do. Your personal presentation is incredibly important. The presence that you have, the projections that you present yourself, and the professionalism that you have. Your self-perception is what others see in you. How you see yourself is what other people will see in you. And so it is good to have a healthy ego, because you need to have that ability to say, I'm really good at what I do. I am a peer professional to this person right here, and I'm going to stand up and say that. You don't get a second chance to make that first impression. Your first impression is very, very important. And you need to have an attitude of professional value. This is our area. A lot of things that we do is a unique professional niche. We don't sell candy bars. We're not the cheapest one. You don't go in and take a soil scientist off the shelf and say, well, do I want the extra large, or do I want the, you know, cheap variety? No, you need to present yourself as the profession that you are. The principles of negotiation is, again, one of the most, this one actually is almost 45 minutes long, and it's not going to be today. I'm going to be very, very short on it. But it's very important is the whole idea of what is the basis of negotiation. If I could summarize it down to one thing, it would be ask. You need to be able to ask. You need to be able to ask for anything. And people don't ask. And that's oftentimes why they don't get what they want. There's five rules to survive. You need to learn how to ask. You need to learn how to say yes in a good, positive manner. You need to learn how to say no. That's probably even more important than saying yes. You need to be willing to stick to negotiating, even if you're getting really done with it and you just don't like the person across from you. You're going to still deal with negotiation anyway. And you have to be willing to walk away. You have to be willing to say, I'm done, and, you know, this is as far as I can go. And I'm going to finish up with enjoying the business of business. I really enjoy being in business. Incredibly much. The important thing is that I always pay myself first. I make sure that I get paid. You can't really enjoy if you're always worrying about whether your bills are getting paid because you're sacrificing and you're cutting here and you're cutting there. You need to make sure that you're rewarding yourself for what you do. And I reward myself very well. I pay myself very well so that I'm, so that's not a worry for me. Use the power of the business name for all the different things, you know, getting upgrades and going to restaurants and all the different little cards that you can get. I've got 30 of them. I'm staying this winter. I oftentimes stay at luxury hotels using points that I've achieved. I fly a lot in my business. This year, so far, I have 87 flights this year. But I get a lot of points. And so, you know, I'm going to fly in December on vacation, and I'm going to fly first class everywhere I go. That's the benefit. You need to take advantage of your business and do that. Don't waste time on time wasters. There's a lot of time wasters out there. Could go into a lot of different things that those are. But you need to learn how to say no. And if you're really not real strong, start out with, well, let me think about it. And that's a really easy way out to be able to say, well, you know what? I'm not going to give you an answer right now. I just need to think about it. Because then you can think about it and say no later. You know, if you really don't want to say no to a person in their face, then at least you can write them or email them and say, I've thought about it and I'm going to say no. Attend training workshops in locations you like to vacation. You know, the National Society, actually, we make a point of our annual meetings are in great places where we all want to go and enjoy a few days. So we can go do that, use that business opportunity as a write-off. And create comfortable, soothing, enjoyable environment for your office and your workspace. I go to a lot of places and people have stuff piled all over the place and it's miserable in their workspace. So you need to create a good, comfortable space where you're working and enjoy that. And you need to buy the tools and the toys you need to make your job easier and more comfortable. Expect the unexpected and roll with it. You got to let go of the things you can't control and focus your energy on what you can. Those are absolute requirements for a good business person. And I'm going to say again, hire an assistant and force yourself to delegate. That, if there's anything else, when it comes down to it, is time flies even when you're not having fun. So you need to take the time to have some fun. And with that, I just wanted to wrap up with saying that there was some, again, in this study that SSSA has put together on asking the employers and the universities and the employees or the students what they thought, it was very fascinating. Phil was talking about employees, and it was just fascinating the entry-level pay that students that were graduating expected what the employers were expecting to pay and it almost matched perfectly. It was very interesting that the entry level were expecting that $25,000 to $50,000 range, and that they were saying if they had experience and had a few years of experience and had some specialty capabilities that they were bringing to a firm, they expected in that $50,000 to $75,000 range, and that was about it. No firms were hiring outside of that range. They were saying, you come and prove to us from that point on. If you really have something, then we may be looking at you as an associate rather than just an employee. But it was very fascinating and that data that's in this study, the SSSA study, is going to be very valuable to all of us, for students and for consultants and for us as business people, to be able to focus our attention on that. With that, that's a wrap for our program. And any questions that anybody would like to have, feel free to stick around. We've got lots of good information in the back there for the organization. Thank you.